Back to Old School with DP and J.
Welcome back, Old School. Again, you can follow on the Sartor Hammond Live video stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter Live. See what's going on. Jay Foreman, I'm trying to understand what I saw yesterday. So I'll ask you and Nathan to kind of chime in. What happened in Indianapolis yesterday to the Chiefs?
It's the NFL, man. Anybody can get beat. I mean, you know, it's not that much of, I mean, there's a big difference between, you know, teams that are real good and not, and that's just being consistent. You know, Matt Ryan's a good enough quarterback. They got Indy over the last few years has always had a pretty opportunistic defense. So and they, you know, pride themselves on being a physical team. And without Tyreek Hill, I think it's just it's open season because they have Stephon Gilmore. So anybody outside, you know, on the outside, he could lock down. They spent some money on their defensive line, so they kept them in the game with defense. Kansas City's kicker being hurt, that's 6 points, which changes the whole dynamic of that game. And they just got out of their way. I mean, they just didn't play well.
Yeah. I watched that game start to finish, and what was really refreshing to see as a Colts fan is, like, the Colts have not had a quarterback that can go down and win a football game. That final drive was 7-some minutes, and Matt Ryan looked not great the entire game, but I mean, he's a veteran. Like, he's been there a time or two.
He can put it together.
He knows what he's doing. Yeah.
He can put it together when he needs to, and that's what makes a guy like Matt Ryan dangerous, because he has it still in him, and he doesn't have his plethora of weapons either. So, and they haven't been running the ball nearly as much or as effective as they have been.
Our offensive lines look terrible.
So that's really the most alarming thing for Indianapolis, is their inability to establish a run game. Now, they said before the game, they're going to be physical with Kansas City. And you saw it actually start to come to fruition after halftime. They controlled the clock. They controlled the tempo. And so that's what happens. And it's just part of those. This is a game that Kansas, there's no familiarity for Kansas City either, you know, because they don't play them all the time, which I think bodes well for – it either bodes really well for a team like Kansas City, because teams aren't used to that type of dynamic offense when Tyreek Hill was there. But now that he's gone, it actually bodes well for a team like – Indianapolis that has the kind of, you know, styles make fights opposites is not good for Kansas City.
What's your take on Russell Wilson last night?
He was good enough to win. I think they're still trying to get used to each other. Him used to the offensive coordinator slash head coach, getting used to what Russ can do. His receivers need to play better. I mean, Jerry Jeudy, I know, you know, looking, he had a case of the drops. So they have the weapons, because you saw Sutton kind of – I think he's going to be the more reliable guy. Jerry Judy's got to probably try to, you know, earn his respect. But I think the offense has been effective, but not consistent. But you saw the running game start to come around, and the defense, you know, I think is starting to gel as well. So Russell was okay.
Green Bay and Tampa played in the weirdest game of the day to me. A 14-12 Packer win.
Slugfest. Defensive game.
Right? Like, I mean, is that – should we be concerned about – I mean, if
– No, because both teams had injuries to their skill position. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tampa Bay had three guys, their three top receivers out. Cole Beasley, who they signed on Monday, ended up pretty much starting. Yeah. Green Bay had – they had Lazar, but all their other receivers were out. Or inactive, including Torre. So they, you know, and then was it Tongan, their tight end, is just getting – he's not getting his legs back yet. So
Romeo Doubs looks good, though.
Yeah, he does.
I don't know where he came from, but he looks really good.
Yeah, a little bit of a more – too much of a chest catcher right now, but he's getting better every game. But they got two of the best defenses in the league, and they were going against two offenses that have been kind of – down as far as personnel, so it was kind of – it was a good game, but it wasn't an exciting game.
Here's the question. Of those two teams, Green Bay and Tampa Bay, are they better? Would you take them over the undefeated Eagles and Giants?
Definitely take both over the Giants. If I had to bet, I'd take him over the Eagles, considering I haven't seen enough from Jalen Hurts yet. And the defense, even though their defensive line is good, which they must have been really mad at Carson Wentz, or he just said, hey, look, I know I wasn't a good teammate to you guys. Sack me 8 times. I mean,
what an awful game that was.
Some of those, yeah. I mean, that's not an offensive line holding the ball. Like, he didn't know where to go. Like, he forgot. It's almost like he was so nervous playing against his old team that he just lost
his way. I don't understand why Taylor Heinicke isn't in the game. Like, I don't understand why he's not starting anyway. But right. if you have a bad offensive line, you need a quarterback that can move. Right. So why would you
Carson
put
Wentz is supposed
Sam Howell.
To move?
Throw Sam Howell out there. Why not?
The problem is that he, when he watches that tape, he was seeing things that wasn't there, and then he was getting sacked 8 times. But I still think their linebackers are a little weak. I think they're, you know, obviously Darius Slay is good, and they're opportunistic on the back end. But I'd take them both over there just to the quarterback play. Now, I would take Tampa over Green Bay because of Tom Brady and Rodgers. Rodgers has shown the inability to win that big game, especially at home. So I would take that because I think Jalen Hurts would come. If the Eagles had to go to Green Bay, cold game, I like Philly.
Seattle can't get it done against the Falcons, and is it time to start questioning the legacy of Pete Carroll? Like, is this a thing where you think maybe without Russ, this thing falls apart?
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
No, well, this is the first year without Russ. Mm-hmm. I think 2 years from now, you'll know.
Same with Belichick, right? Jones, you kind of have to give him time.
Yeah, give him a couple years. I think I like Pete Carroll. I like their program, per se, as they like to call it up there, where they actually try to develop and coach guys. And they draft really well. They do. They draft in street free agent, priority free agent, whatever you call it, really, really well. They've traded really, really well. You got to think they got Marshawn Lynch, hit a home run with Dwayne Brown when he wanted to get out of Houston, and they got DK Metcalf, where everybody thought he was a one-trick pony, and he's obviously one of the top receivers or top 10 or whatever you want to call it in the league. They've been trying to invest in that offensive line, and it's so-so whether how it's gone. But don't judge him on Geno Smith. Let him – I mean, they got to get it. If they don't get a quarterback, like in this draft or this free agency, then you'd be like, oh, yeah, Pete Carroll or whatever. But just imagine Lockett's getting a little bit older, but just think with DK, and if they get a tight end, and they got Penny and all the running, but they just had kind of like injuries. Even if they had Jimmy G, a guy that could win you games.
Well, they might be bad enough to get Bryce Young or CJ Stroud. I could see
right,
them having
over, though. But we're talking about a guy that can win.
You don't think CJ Stroud could win right now?
In the league?
Yeah.
No.
You don't think?
Well, name me a quarterback that kind of comes in and wins. A rookie year.
Mac Jones.
What's Mac Jones doing this year?
Well, he's hurt now.
But what was he doing before that?
I'm just saying he went to the playoffs in the right system with a good coach. Bill Belichick's a good coach.
But was Mac Jones leading the way, though?
But that thing is, to your point, I think the Seahawks as a whole are a good enough team.
They do have at least two receivers, judging Lockett and Metcalf right now.
I was curious, do the Raiders make the playoffs? You start 0-3.
Nope.
They can't turn around. So all of the talent that's on that roster, they can't put it together.
They're the Raiders. Mm. Same thing. Josh Jacobs has been your bell cow running back. Mm. Oh, let's not sign him back. How smart is that? You draft the one kid from Clemson at number 4. I don't even know if he's even active or even on the roster.
Oh, Cleveland Farrell.
Right.
He's a special teams guy.
But you got Josh Jacobs who can
Pro Bowler. A constant Pro Bowler.
Josh Jacobs. You don't want a fifth-year option him? What sense are you working with the Raiders? What are you going to go get? Kenyon Drake or something like that? Like a guy that's on a flyer and just think you can plug and play anybody? So until they really want to get down to business of winning, the Raiders are just going to be the Raiders. They're always going to have a great roster. highly penalized team and not reach their potential.
What do you think about those Minnesota Vikings?
Man, they were dead. I don't. Detroit kicked their butt, but they hung in there and they made the plays that they needed to make. They're tough. They're well coached. You know, Kevin O'Connell who comes in. I mean, he did it right. Go to somewhere where you have a quarterback that actually can walk and chew gum, a legit running back, two receivers, a young tight end that's going to hopefully finally get healthy, a decent offensive line, and then a defense that wants to kind of – that plays with pride because they've been a good defense and a really good roster for the most part. And this is what you get, man. But I think as the season goes on, if they continue along how they've been playing, they might supplant Green Bay as winning the division. They're tough, man. I mean, usually 2 years ago, that team was dead in the water. They would have never won that game against Detroit.
You still got playoff Kirk Cousins, though, unfortunately.
I'm just talking about winning the division. The playoffs is another thing.
Whole other thing. Before we go to break, I'll ask you about the NFL putting down the Pro Bowl.
Well, I mean, it was the worst kept secret, right? Mm-hmm. Watching that these guys get dressed up with pads and not even execute what it would look like on Halloween when you kind of dress up as a football player was probably more disrespectful than these guys having some skills challenge, which they can probably dice up anyways to kind of, you know, make it. The Pro Bowl changed when they started having the Pro Bowl before the Super Bowl instead of after it. So then that lets you know the game was no longer going to be the game. So it is what it is, and I get it. Guys got to protect themselves, and they don't want to get hurt. And you know, I think it'll change in 5 years because it'll be something else they want to do, but there won't be any more games.
Interesting enough. From the text line, John says, back to Nebraska neck rolls fullback, starting with Andre Franklin, Schlesinger's Michael Vicka, Bill Bates, just a memory, Dean Stein.
Oh, yeah, Bill Bates from the Cowboys.
Yeah, there were a lot 40. Of folks. The folks there were.
There's a lot of guys that wore it. But I just wonder what it really did.
I think it was just
it looked
comfort.
Cool, though.
It was just
comfort. Just give you a little.
And that persona. As a matter of fact, in the feature, it talked about that it was just presence.
Ray Nitschke had one. Jack Lambert, too?
Lambert was
you know who
was
Jack Lambert is?
Nope.
Damn.
What?
Really? Do you know who Mad Dog Mike Curtis is?
I've heard the name, yes.
He might be the second best. He would be the second best middle linebacker to play in Baltimore ever.
Do you know who the best is?
In Baltimore?
Yeah.
Ray Lewis.
Okay, good. We got to start here.
That's the middle 2000s. I know that a little bit.
Lambert is one of the greatest linebackers to ever play the game. Ever.
6'4", 205.
Ooh.
Park Ranger. Nasty,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have any front teeth. He had the two fangs on there.
Yep.
He hated the Cleveland Browns because they didn't draft him.
Fingers went in 42 different directions.
And he would poke your eyes out, Nate.
He would wave his fingers, and it would be pointing at Jay and you at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, some are teeth. Some are here, some are there.
Yeah. It's good stuff. We'll throw it a break. We'll come back. We're going to make somebody smile, and then we're going to – you know what? We're going to give away some tickets to
– Oh, the pancake.
To the Pancake Festival. We're going to do all of that next. Stay tuned.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and J on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.